Hello, my name is Barbara Jarvis, and I'm a member of the Hope United Methodist Church. I want to wish everyone a happy new year and hope things go well for you in the future. I just want to let all my friends and families know that I am adopting a cat this coming weekend, and I will let you know what further news I have. Thank you very much. Prayerfully yours, and God bless you.
Hello, my dear friends. I'm thinking about all of you and praying that you are all well. I cannot wait to get back to church to see each and every one of you. God bless you all.
Good morning, Hope. This is Holly, and I'm at work right now because it's easier with a second set of hands. I hope you are all well and keeping warm and look forward to seeing you soon. In the meantime, mask up.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us for worship today. Well, good morning, and thank you for bearing with us through a couple technical glitches. You know, computers, sometimes they just get kind of cranky, and they just, kind of like my daughter, need to take a nap, take a break, take a step away, and sort of rekindle themselves. So hopefully all is well. We'll keep an eye on our good friend computer back there and make sure that it's doing its job. If not, we'll cover that as we get to it. Anyway, a few announcements before we begin our time of worship this morning, hiccups and all. First, please remember that starting next Sunday, we will begin limited regathering. We will be asking that you RSVP to participate in being able to come join us here in worship. RSVPs will open Tuesday at 10 a.m. So please remember, if you call us Tuesday at 9:30, then we'll not put you on the list at that time. You need to wait until 10 o'clock. We want to make sure everyone has a chance to hear about it. Also, please note that the limit is 20 persons. So if you call with your spouse and you both want to come and you're number 20 and 21, then we'll ask if you want to move to the next Sunday. So if you have any questions about that, please let me know, and I'll do my best to navigate you through those. Also, please note that on the following Sunday, the 14th of March, we'll be having a digital coffee hour, and that will be happening via Zoom, and we're going to be using Zoom breakout rooms to have that coffee hour so that we can all check in and chat with one another, but not have all 50 or however many of us join on one Zoom where only one of us can talk at a time. So if you have questions about that or need help with Zoom, contact us. We have people who are willing to help with that. Also, next Sunday, in addition to being our first Sunday of regathering in a limited capacity, we will be having drive-through communion following worship. So from noon to 1, please feel free to drive through here by the building and come for communion, and I'll be out there waiting for you. If it's like today, I'll have a tent. Also, we've got a Bible study going on Thursday nights for Lent, so join us for that. And it's on Zoom as well. If you need that information, let me know, or the office. And finally, if you are a United Methodist nerd, kind of like myself, you may note or have heard that our general conference has been delayed again until 2022 due to the coronavirus pandemic. Our conference, our bishop, are going to put out an informational session about that on Saturday, March 13th at 1 p.m. So if you want to learn more about what does it mean that it's delayed and how does that look and how is that going to go, then hopefully you'll put that on your calendar, March 13th at 1 p.m., to be able to check all of that out. Well, with that, why don't we all just take a deep breath? Whew. And prepare ourselves for worship as we listen to our prelude.
morning. Won't you please join me in the call to worship? Pilgrims, we are invited to journey through this season of Lent towards the one who calls us each by a new name. Disciples, we walk with Jesus wherever he leads us, putting our fears, our doubts, our longings behind us. Believers, we seek to trust the God who always surprises us, whose promises take on flesh and blood in the good news called Jesus. Now please join me in our first hymn. If you have a hymnal at home, it's 116. It's called The God of Abraham Prays.
Navigate the difficulties because we are standing on the promises of God that all will be well even without technology. So, with that, time of prayer. I think we need some prayer, don't you? Yes, we do. All right, so let us take a deep breath. Center ourselves, return ourselves to an attitude of worship, a reminder of why we have gathered, and even in the face of difficulties, and join in our unison prayer. Though people may turn their backs on us, you do not hide your face from us. Though others may try to take away our hope, you assure us of that future waiting for us. You speak your name, inscrutable Creator, and it is enough. When we try to dictate our fears to you, You invite us to follow you into self-denial and service. As we struggle to shape our lifestyle to yours, you carry us with you wherever we go. You speak your good news, teacher of open hearts, and it is enough. Though we have done nothing to earn them, you pour out the gifts of grace and mercy upon us. When we stumble over our lack of trust, you set us back on our feet to follow you into the kingdom. You speak your peace, breath of holiness, and it is enough. Let us continue as we move into a time of silent prayer, that we would reflect and allow music to guide us in our discernments and protestations. Lord, we gather and we know that you are with us. We pray for many this day as we are here together. We lift up Betty Johnson, Pat Bartko, Dennis Bartko, Ron Toth. We pray for Frank, and we pray for Ronald. Lord, we pray for all of those for whom there are not just inconveniences in life, but true hardships. God, guide us in all that we do. Strengthen us and help us to endure that which seems unendurable. Remind us of the gift, the pouring out of yourself into us that you give on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute and second by second basis, Lord. Strengthen us, especially during this time, when Lent seems to have lasted forever, neighbors seem farther away than previously thought, friends and family feel strained, and yet in the midst of all of it, we cry out, we need you, Lord. Be with us in all that we do. God in community, holy in one, it is enough that you hear us, even as we pray as we are taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Whew. So you got Taylor Swift songs, going to shake it off, keep going. Our next hymn is number 374, and it feels really fitting for the moment, Standing on the Promises. If you're at home, why don't you stand up and shake it off and join us in song. I figured the reason the website's not working is because we stopped it and then had to restart it when the computer rebooted. See, there's always something. But I want to give a big thanks to our tech team in the back and right here and everyone here. It's one of those things where it's a bunch of unforeseen events that all just happen perfectly to make everything a little chaotic. And that happens sometimes, no matter who we are. But thankfully we have cell phones and we can call people who can help us. But for our children's moment today, I wanted to read you a book, which is something that I feel like I always do, but it's one of my favorite things to do. And this is a classic, Are You My Mother? Now, I don't know about you guys, but this one was read to me when I was a kid, and now I get to read it to my kid, and I'll get to read it to my kids soon, so that's pretty exciting. But here we go. A mother bird sat on her egg. The egg jumped. Oh, said the mother bird. Oh, it's a mother bird. What might a mother bird sound like? Maybe something more like this. Oh, said the mother bird. My baby will be here. He will want to eat. You got to do voices, kids. It helps it, you know. I must get something for my baby bird to eat, she said. I will be back. So away she went. Now the egg jumped. It jumped and jumped and jumped. It jumped, and out came the baby bird.
Where's my mother, he said.
That's not a good voice. We'll just stick with my regular voice for this one. He looked for her. He looked up. He did not see her. He looked down. He did not see her. "I will go and look for her," he said. So away he went. Down out of the tree he went. Down, down, down. It was a long way down. Now the baby bird could not fly. He could not fly, but he could walk. "Now I will go and find my mother," he said. He did not know what his mother looked like, and he went right by her, and he did not see her. He came to a kitten. "Are you my mother?" he said to the kitten. The kitten just looked and looked. It did not say a thing. The kitten was not his mother, so he went on. Then he came to a hen. "Are you my mother?" he said to the hen. "No," said the hen. The kitten was not his mother. The hen was not his mother. So the baby bird went on. "I have to find my mother," he said. "But where? Where is she? Where could she be?" He came to a dog. "Are you my mother?" he said to the dog. "I am not your mother. I am a dog," said the dog. The kitten was not his mother. The hen was not his mother. The dog was not his mother. So the baby bird went on, and now he came to a cow. "Are you my mother?" he said to the cow. "How could I be your mother?" said the cow. "I am a cow." The kitten and the hen were not his mother. The dog and the cow were not his mother. Did he have a mother? It's a pretty deep question for a kid's book. "I did have a mother," said the baby bird. "I know I did. I have to find her. I will, I will." Now the baby bird did not walk. He ran. Then he saw a car. Could that old thing be his mother? No, it could not. The baby bird did not stop. He ran on and on. He looked way, way down. He saw a boat. "There she is," said the baby bird. He called to the boat, but the boat did not stop. The boat went on. He looked way, way up, and he saw a big plane. "Here I am, mother," he called out, but the plane did not stop. The plane went on. Just then the baby bird saw a big thing. This must be his mother. "There she is," he said. "There is my mother." He ran right up to it. "Mother, mother, here I am, mother," he said to the big thing. But the big thing just said, "Snort." "Oh, you are not my mother," said the baby bird. "You are a snort. I have to get out of here." But the baby bird could not get away. The snort went up. It went way, way up, and up, up, up went the baby bird. But now, where was the snort going? "Oh, oh, oh, what is this snort going to do to me? Get me out of here." Just then the snort came to a stop. "Where am I?" said the baby bird. "I want to go home. I want my mother." Then something happened. That snort put the baby bird right back in the tree. The baby bird was home. Just then the mother bird came back to the tree. "Do you know who I am?" she said to her baby. "Yes, I know who you are," said the baby bird. "You are not a kitten. You are not a hen. You are not a dog. You are not a cow. You are not a boat or a plane or a snort. You are a bird, and you are my mother." The end. Now, why would I read you a book about that? Well, number one, it's just kind of a good book. But number two, in our scripture for today, Jesus and his disciples kind of have an argument, and he has to explain what's really important. And sometimes in our lives, we get confused on what's really important too, and we can go out and look for things to fill what's important. So instead of focusing on the importance of our family, or our friends, or our faith, we go out and we get video games and toys and gadgets and gizmos and, especially us big kids, phones, computers. We get food or drinks or all these different things that we try and use to make important, to make our focus. And we can go on this big search because we don't realize that what was right in front of us all the time was what we were really looking for. Just like the baby bird. He goes out. He can't see his mom. He doesn't even know what she looks like. And so he goes on this big search, only to find that what he was looking for was there all along. And God is always there with us. And so we can go on this big search for what in our life is important and what holds meaning. And it's important to search and figure out who you are, but we always have to remember that God is with us and that we don't have to go on an exhaustive search to find God, because God is always right here and everywhere that we go. Let's pray. God, thank you for being wherever we look, even if it's in the wrong places. Thank you for helping to guide us on our journey and for being with us always. Amen.
Our first lesson for today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 and 15 through 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am El Shaddai. Walk with me and be trustworthy. I will make a covenant between us, and I will give you many, many descendants." Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "But me, my covenant is with you. You will be the ancestor of many nations. And because I have made you the ancestor of many nations, your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham. I will make you very fertile. I will produce nations from you, and kings will come from you. I will set up my covenant with you and your descendants after you, in every generation, as an enduring covenant. I will be your God and your descendants' God after you." God said to Abraham, "As for your wife Sarai, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will now be Sarah. I will bless her and even give you a son from her. I will bless her so that she will become nations, and kings of peoples will come from her." May God add a blessing to this reading.
Now our second lesson for today, taken from the Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 38. Then Jesus began to teach his disciples, "The human one must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the legal experts, and be killed, and then after 3 days rise from the dead." He said this plainly. But Peter took hold of Jesus and, scolding him, began to correct him. Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, then sternly corrected, "Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking God's thoughts, but human thoughts." After calling the crowd together with his disciples, Jesus said to them, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them. But all who lose their lives because of me and because of the good news will save them. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What will people give in exchange for their lives? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this unfaithful and sinful generation, the human one will be ashamed of that person when he comes in the Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Whew. The promises of what can be. That's where we find ourselves, is asking what could be. I think many of us have asked that question in our lives, and I think it's a natural one to ask. What could be? What potential lies within? And so today we hear this scripture where Jesus starts talking about what it means to follow him. And we hear a scripture about promises made to Abraham and his wife Sarah and all of their descendants. And it makes us ask the question, what can be? There are lots of pivotal moments in history where we've looked at and asked ourselves these questions. What can be? It's not always phrased, what can be. I think one of the most famous ones that springs to mind of asking this question is, I have a dream. Not so much a question that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. offered, more of a statement, but it holds within it this idea of promise of what can be. A vision. A discernment. A prayer. A connection. Of what the future could potentially hold if we have the ability to listen and follow the guidance of God. Now, in Jesus' time, this scripture, this teaching, would have been confusing. For us, the idea of the cross, that thing up there on the wall, is easy. We understand the cross. We understand that our Lord was crucified on it. We understand that He was taken off of it. We understand that it stood on a hill and that the symbolism of the cross was co-opted from instrument of destruction to symbol of new life, redemption, reconciliation. The cross is more than just an item of death. It is a gateway of new life in which we encounter God in a new way. But Jesus' audience would not have understood that. Those listening to Him when He talks about the cross would only understand it as something that the Romans use to punitively punish those who get out of line. The cross was only in existence as a means of torture and repression. And so for Jesus to say, take up your cross and follow me, is not necessarily a happy statement. We often reduce it in our world these days and in our churches to the idea of, it will be difficult to follow Jesus, but we all have crosses to bear, and we talk about these crosses, these burdens and these things, as if Jesus was talking to us in a way that the cross is just like having to do one extra shift in the carpool or something of that nature. But that's not what He's trying to tell people, and we can see that by the fact that He continues with things like, if you want to save your life, you have to lose it. In a modern term, what Jesus is basically trying to say is, if you want to follow Him, bring your respirator because you're going to be tear gassed if you follow me. It's no shock then that Peter is not a fan of this teaching. See, the promises of what can be, according to the disciples' viewpoint and framework, are power and prestige, authority and majesty. This guy's the Messiah, but don't tell anybody about it. And so if he's the Messiah and we're his chosen 12, we are going to be sitting pretty when we overthrow the Romans and take things back. When we are in charge, the promise of what can be is good for me. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me. You're thinking, you're not thinking God's thoughts. You are thinking human thoughts. The civil rights movement is not over by any stretch. And when we look at the historical movement and its modern iterations, we have to understand that there is a twofold coupling of both the act of engaging in resistance and attainment of civil rights, but also the spiritual component. It should be no shock to us that the leaders of it often find themselves as religious persons. It should be no shock to us that they often preach out of a Bible. It should be no shock to us that they are deeply steeped in the Word of God, and it leads them into a desire for bettering of the world. When they, in the past, and now as we look in our current reality, ask themselves, what can be, They are attuned with God in their discernment. So then why are we surprised when they read about Christ and teachings like this and say things like, I have a dream where everyone truly is equal. I have a dream where there are not barriers and boundaries erected. And we have made progress, but not enough. In our scripture last week, Jesus talks about the fact that he's come to proclaim the good news. And I mentioned that the good news is not necessarily something that is good news for everyone because it challenges the status quo. He starts talking in our scripture today about what people will have to give up in order to follow him. And it makes me think about, what do we give up in our lives in order to pursue that which we think is important? If we hold money as important, do we sacrifice our health to achieve money? Do we sacrifice sleep? Do we sacrifice our family? Where do we draw the line? Because what inevitably happens is that when we put something in our lives as most important that is not God and love of neighbor and family, we start a process of stumbling down a path where inevitably we will sacrifice our faith and our God in order to maintain that which we have said is most important to us. If we begin the process of sacrificing things that should not be sacrificed, family, health, time, love, so that we can gain things like wealth and power and influence, ultimately what we find is that at the conclusion of that, as we move our line of acceptability further and further to justify our actions, we will sacrifice our God so that we can maintain our wealth and our power and our influence. And that is what happened then. And that is what happens now. Christ comes to liberate those who are oppressed. And if we resist that because we want to maintain our money and power, does that mean that we're standing on the wrong side of the movement of God? When I read this scripture, it makes me be challenged because it asks me to ask myself the question, am I Peter? Would Jesus say to me that I am thinking as a person and not as God? When we read scripture, we should be challenged. It should challenge us to ask what can be, and are we ourselves in the way of that? Are we so distant from the Lord? Are we so unattuned to the Spirit and so focused on ourselves and what we think is important that we have lost God in the process? Now, this sounds vaguely political, but indeed it becomes difficult if we read Jesus' statements not to be engaged in our world, not from a perspective of partisan politics, but from a perspective of humanity and growth. The Bible is political in that it advocates for persons, and to truly follow it means that we must care for our neighbor, something that drives us to be engaged in our world and to seek to better things for everyone, and yet too often we reduce it not to the promises of what can be, but the promises of what's for me. An important distinction. And so this scripture challenges me, especially during Lent, when I'm supposed to be engaged in self-examination of my motivations and my internal biases and all of those things within me that are sinful, and ask myself, who am I and whose am I, so that I can grow, focusing on the promises of God and what can be, and taking myself and my desires out of the equation. During Lent, we are challenged to grow. And so too, I hope that you answer the challenge to grow. Take time to engage in prayer. Time to engage in fasting. And I don't just mean from food, but set down the phone, the computer, the remote. Don't let somebody tell you what to think, but spend time thinking for yourself. Fast from people who tell you what to do, and instead get in tune with the Holy Spirit that it could guide you how to live. Fast from those things that corrupt you. Fast from those things that distract you. Engage in the season of Lent in such a way that when we hit Easter, it's not just another box to check on your Christian year, but that it is instead truly a celebration of a new life, not only in resurrection, but within yourself. Who could you be? What can you be? If we truly listen to the promises of God. Amen. Our next song is Where He Leads Me. So let's join in singing that.
All the way. Where He leads.
Now, as we find ourselves in our time of offertory, let us engage in a moment of silent reflection and prayer and discernment and of invitation to God to once again come into our hearts, challenge us, grow us, and turn us into persons who are generous on every facet in front of our lives. Let us engage in a moment of reflection. And now, wherever you may be, near or far, unless you're in the car, please stand as you are able and let us join in singing our doxology. I want to give a big thanks to Brian and Jeremy and Gus and Nancy for navigating all the bumps that we've had this morning. Because sometimes, no matter how prepared you are, things just go a little sideways. But we persevere and we adapt and we make it through. And we make a phone call or two. And so too do we in our journey. Have some bumps, some false starts, some stumbles and trips. And yet, when we are a people of prayer and discernment and connection to the Holy Spirit, we can overcome and we can endure. We can see the promises. The promises of God that pour out into our midst each and every day, that we would be challenged in many different ways. Let us join in our benediction response.